Good day, podcast audience. I'm working on different intros as I try to grow the podcast, so bear with me. Hey, listen, today I wanted to talk to you about a different take on customer perfect that lends itself to employee-to-employee customer perfect. But instead, I think I'm going to talk to Columbus, Ohio, about some union activity. And let me say, first of all, I'm not one who have a lot nice things to say about that union in Columbus, but I got to give props to my man, Scott Duffy. And he does, I'm sure he probably don't want me to do that, but nonetheless, again, when we talk about the handling of grievances, but I got to wag the finger pretty hard at postal management for making what I just call a sucker deal. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Over the holiday, there was a schedule made. We're not going to get into the specifics, good schedule, bad schedule, but there was a holiday schedule made and posted. For all intents and purposes, let's assume everything is done perfectly. On the day of the holiday, in this holiday schedule, employees were drafted. So on the day of holiday, one of the drafted employees report to work, and there is an additional mail handler who came to work on that day. And I say specifically came to work, and again, no disrespect to that mail handler, because when your management does not have control of anything in your building, this happens widespread, it used to happen widespread. So no disrespect to that mail handler. That's what people do at work from time to time. But another employee just came in. So the drafted employee says to the supervisor, well, since there's another employee here that wasn't scheduled, can I just leave? Here's postal management. No, we got you here, and if you leave, I'm not going to pay you. Supervisors totally looking past the point of, if you schedule 8 people to come to work, and I'm that 8th person who was forced to come in, and then a 9th person, not scheduled, just shows up, well, you needed 8. So how about if you just let me leave? That 9th person can now fill that position, and even though they just reported for work, no harm, no foul, you still have 8 people. But I guess management wanted to take a different perspective to that and kind of told the employee, if you leave, you're not getting paid for your holiday, blase, you know, this, that, and the other. Okay, that's the situation, cut, dry, straight drink, no chaser. Now we come to the union part. A grievance was filed, and in the grievance, it was stated that the employee was forced to come in. The distant employee showed up, and I keep saying showed up because I want you to differentiate between showed up and scheduled. Very important that you understand that. And the drafted employee just wanted to leave. No harm, no foul. You needed 8 people here. You got 8 people here. Let's go. But that didn't happen. So the union files a grievance on behalf of the employee and went to step one, not at step one, went to step two. Now, again, I'm sorry that I'm somewhat of a stickler for dates on grievances because we all know, as per those who don't know, all my grievances were late. So I'm kind of a stickler on that. So here's the deal. On January 7th, a step one meeting was had. A step one decision was rendered. On January 8th, the Stewart, on top of his game, filed that grievance. On January 9th, it appears the grievance was sent in to labor, which everybody knows that once it's stamped in, that's a 7-day window. So, now again, stamped in on the 9th, a decision returned on the 27th. No, I'm not going to say late grievance because that's not how Local 304 operates. Whatever. Yeah, again, that grievance was over 10 days late, which brings me to the point of, if management is that late on a grievance, the fact that it wasn't sent to step three, well, that's the new SOP. I'm going to take it as such. But the fact that management is now late puts the union in a much better bargaining position. Do you hear what I'm saying? Puts them in a great bargaining position because management now understands that that grievance is late. They don't want it sent to step three because that step three management decider is going to have a phone call with the step two management person, and it's not going to be a nice phone call. So nonetheless, grievance is late on a response. Again, stamped in on the 9th, responded back on the 27th. But get a load of the response that came back. Again, let me just give you a quick recap because I have to slow down because I want you to understand what I'm saying. The steward asked to have this grievance made whole by paying $72. That was the asking price by the union. Management, in all their wisdom, changed the complex or changed the grievance itself because the grievance was about additional people at work. The grievance had nothing to do with an overtime list. Management submitted references showing a questionnaire out of the Kim. Does the overtime desire list have any effect on holiday scheduling? Never an issue in this grievance, but management brought that to the table. So let me tell you what management did. And again, I don't even know if it's good, bad, indifferent, but here's what postal management did. The union brought a grievance to him to make a grievance whole. It would cost them $72. Postal management said, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to change the intent of your grievance. And instead of paying the affected employee $72, we're going to pick another employee off the overtime desire list and offer them 8 hours of overtime. Yes. The union asked for $72 and management said, no, we're not going to give you $72 because for whatever reason, they took it upon themselves to change the whole intent of the grievance. But, and because they did that, rather than pay $72 to an affected employee, they decided to pay 8 hours of overtime opportunity to a senior employee, which means instead of selling a grievance for $72, management decided they want to settle that grievance for almost $500. And you wonder why we have fiscal problems? You see, as I always try to inform employees, management continues to make big dollar errors. And in this case, let me say this to you. To that mail handler, for whatever reason, that's about to get 8 hours of makeup opportunity overtime. More power to you. So trust and believe, this is not a knock to you. I'm just trying to say to the mail handlers, to the clerks, to the letter carriers, postal management continues to make errors of this type and larger on an everyday basis. And every time there's an issue in the post office, we have to take less money. We have to do more jobs. We have to try to give extra effort because they refuse to hire adequate personnel. And I'm simply saying to folks, sometimes postal management got to take responsibility for that nonsense themselves. And you as employees have to understand, or you as mail handlers, clerks, carriers. Yes, I signed on to do a job, and I'm going to give it my best. But let me tell you something, folks. The post office is not designed that you should drop dead at work because that's how hard you're working. I'm sorry, not the design of the product here. Like I always say to you, I'm going to keep you alert of what's going on in your offices. And I say to any other office that hears this podcast, if there's some issues going on in your office that you'd like for me to make public, and they are your issues and you can't authorize me to do so, that's what I'm here for. Not only do I want to educate and have contractual podcasts where we talk about our contract, I also want to talk about work environments. And sometimes what goes on in Columbus, Ohio, people in other parts of the world have no idea. And hopefully through this podcast, we'll see that Columbus, Ohio problems are the same problems in Memphis, Tennessee, the same problems in Florida. So again, the more aware, hopefully the more powerful we will become as postal employees. Have a great day.